1, 2, 3.
Welcome to Three Song Stories, the show that brings out the storyteller and our guests with the help of three songs that have become bound to their lives and life stories. Thanks for listening. I'm Mike Kanairi. Our guest this week is Konstantinos Vranishti. Konstantinos is a 35-year-old student at Florida Gulf Coast University who was born in Albania but spent most of his life in Greece before moving to the United States with his family in 2019. They first landed in Maryland but then moved to Fort Myers during the early days of the pandemic. He started off as a journalism student at FGCU because he worked as a journalist in Greece, but recently changed his major to communication. Konstantinos speaks Greek, Albanian, and English very well, and French and Italian fairly well. His bio says music plays a significant role in his life and that he wakes up to music every morning with a happy song to set the tone of the day, but he also turns to music when he's sad. His bio ends by saying, quote, "Music for me is like an emotional elevator. Sometimes I want to visit lower levels or even the basement, but I always have to remember that I belong in the penthouse." Good morning, Konstantinos.
Good morning.
Thank you for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
So you sent me your bio, and you're the first person who's ever sent me a bio that uses indentation. You indent your second and third paragraphs, which I commend because nobody does that anymore.
I was thinking about that, and I checked my resume when I had like to send you my bio, and there are certain things that I'd like to change on it, and I'm like, no, like, I'm not going to do it like in that very cold professional way. I will do it on my way because I'm going to go there to present my personality. And it's going to be like in a more friend and human way. So this is why I decided like to do it like a short story.
Yeah, well, no, it was great. By the way, you are now, as I can count, our fourth Eastern European guest. We've had Radu Papaniu, who's the conductor of the Southwest Florida Symphony. He's Romanian.
Okay.
We've had a woman named Rada Angelova. She's Bulgarian. We recorded from her from Bulgaria 3 weeks ago. Haven't released her yet. And we had another Bulgarian, an actress named Evgenia Radulova. And her episode came back. And so now we're trying to get big in Eastern Europe. So do you have any connections back there still?
You got it. I still have many connections back there.
So your bio says you start the day with a happy song to try to set the tone. Did you do that this morning? And if so, what song?
It's always the same song, at least the last 2 months. I'm trying like to stay dedicated. Like, so when I like something, I'm trying to not change it. Till, you know, it gets old in my mind. So the last 2 months, the song is always the same. It's Unstoppable by Sia.
Ah, and that's one of our songs today, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, that'll be a little tease into the future. What were some of the other songs you've used that way in recent years? You got any of them that you remember?
Well, always, like, the first thing that I do in the morning is, like, to put a song, like, on YouTube and I'm trying, like, to be usually, like, a pop song just to, you know, to get me, like, in that more positive thinking early in the morning. Like, in the morning, we don't wake up very happy, the majority of people. So, you know, like, I think that I need something, like, to just get me and, like, to wake me up. So it's, like, a pop song, Greek the most of the time, like, a Greek song. It could be Italian, French, or English, of course.
So you were born in Albania.
Yes.
But you only lived there till you were about 8.
Yes.
Do you have any memories back from that far back? I know that's kind of that's the era where we might have a few, but not a lot, or do you?
Well, thank you for bringing this up. Yes, I was born in Albania. My family and I had to migrate in Greece when I was 8 years old. That happens in 1997, and it was because of the civil war that Albania had back in time. So that war was like for 2 years. So when I was 6 to 8, till I left. And my memories are not like so positive. I mean, the strongest memories that I have from my home country is just war, death, and all these bad things that happened during these times.
Let's jump ahead to Greece, which hopefully was happier. Right. What are your first memories of being in Greece? Did it seem like, was it mind-blowing having come from that, you know, that war situation?
Yes, like the... I will always remember all my first days in Greece, like till the first 2-3 years, because it was like my first thought was like, I found paradise. And then people, the hospitality of people there, like how open they were, how friendly. It was like the early age that I had also, like I was learning things and I was like a sponge. So it was like a challenge for me, like to learn the language, to be good at school, because I was previously a good student, like in Albania. So I'm like, okay, like you're gonna try to be connected with the previous level you were, and then try to advance that. And the timing was like very fast. Like imagine that in Albania, I did like the first 3 years in K-12 school. And when I went in Greece, I didn't start from the first year, although I didn't speak the language.
You didn't speak, well, Greek.
However, I had a great teacher that he trusted me when we had like our first meeting, our first conference, because this is how it works in Greece. Like when an immigrant student it comes, has like a private meeting with his future teacher. Mm-hmm. Just to understand, you know, like a psychological, uninformal, like, you know, conversation. So he decided that I was capable to continue from the fourth grade and not go like from the very beginning. By his own will, though, when I was in fourth grade, the entire year I was finishing during the day my school. And after school, when he was finishing too, we were going in his house and having like 2 hours every single weekday for a year, extra classes. So I was able like to learn the first, the second, and the third grade.
Wow.
In just 1 year, I did 4 grades. And when I went like the next year, I was ready like as a Greek guy.
What was the musical background of your life there in Greece once you got there when you were younger? What was their, you know, was your folks playing music around the house? You know, what were you listening to? What was the world of music around you?
Well, music, I think that it has always been like in my family. It was like a strong way of expression, all kind of feelings. And then in Greece, you know, like all this happiness and, you know, positive environment that it describes and characterizes my country. It's like in your everydayness, like you cannot survive without music in Greece.
Hmm.
So it was like, you know, something that...
Was it Greek music? Was it Western mostly, music?
It's mostly Greek music. Like Greeks, like by 80% listen Greek music.
Hmm. Do you remember the first music that you owned as a young person that you could hold, like a cassette or a CD? I'm trying to guess with your age. It was probably
yes.
A CD.
It was a CD. I'm not that old for cassettes.
Well, I didn't know. Maybe in Greece they were a little behind or something.
Yeah, yeah. So, yes, I remember my first CD that my parents bought me as a gift from my name day. So my name is Konstantinos, and in Greece we get our names as Christian Orthodox from our saints. Every saint has a name, a specific day of the year. So my saint, Saint Konstantinos, celebrates on May 21st. And on that day, my parents bought me the first CD from one of my still favorite singers, Greek singers. Her name is Despina Vandi. And yeah, it was like the five, a collection of 13 songs, I think. And like the first five was like, you know, like 100 times in my day list, like listening all those. It was like pop music mostly.
Gotcha.
So yeah.
Huh. Did you play any musical instruments?
When I was in Albania, I started playing piano. And then the war came, and then I moved back in Greece. I went in Greece, and I had to I had to prioritize other things. So I
like doing 4 years of school in 1 year. You had to focus on things like that.
But then after, like, you know, the next years were still hard for me because,
Sure. You have a younger brother.
I do.
Who you described as your alter ego.
Yeah.
Did you influence him musically at all? Were you guys close enough that you kind of got influenced together?
Yes, like we kind of, we have only 3 years difference. So okay. It's like, you know, we feel like twins. And whatever we've done in our life, it was like always together. So we do have mostly the same influence in music with a little bit differences because we wanted, like, when we grew up, we decided, like, you know, like we need to kind of have like a different identity somehow in some things.
So what would characterize that difference? Where would be the part where you have something that's not similar?
Based on music?
Yeah.
Well, he prefers mostly like it's based on, you know, different like genres. So he prefers mostly like traditional Greek music, which is like I would like, you know, like find it like kind of similar metaphorically with country music in the US.
Okay.
Like, you know, this kind of thing. When I had the tendency to go like mostly like in classic music. So my mother loved classic music. My godmother loved it too. So, you know, like it was like when I was 12 years old that I started like listening like kind of Chopin, Puccini, you know, and then like Luciano Pavarotti, that he was still alive, you know, and stuff like that.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, let's do your first song now.
Yeah.
This is the Celine Dion song. Would you like to tell a story? Would you like to listen?
I would like to listen it first.
All right. How do you say your last name?
My last name is Vranishti.
Vranishti.
Yes.
All right, this is Konstantinos Vranishti's first song today. This is Because You Loved Me by Celine Dion, released in 1996 on her album Falling Into You. This is Three Song Stories. This is Biography Through Music.
This story is dedicated to my mom, always. Like, I'm everything I am because she loved me. So that's the title, that's the entire philosophy behind of this song. Like, I think that every single word of those lyrics could fit perfectly to my mom and in every mom in this world. Like, it's not, you know, I'm very, very sensitive when it comes to the topic, like, you know, talking about moms, because I think that they have this power to just control, advance, destroy the world by any kind of, you know, means, like positive or negative ways. She always has been like my strength. All the moments that I felt that I was weak and I couldn't do it, she was always like my ears when I couldn't, like, you know, hear something that would be like very beneficial for me. When I lost my dad, like she was the only one person that, you know, I felt that, you know, it was there like having the role of a parent. So it like she received the other 50% of the love that I had to my dad.
Would she know that this song was something that made you think of her?
Yes, she knows that that song is my favorite song, that every time that I listen it is always for her. She doesn't know that I chose this song for our podcast today.
Well, she's listening to us right now the future, so she knows now.
Yes.
Do you listen to this song often, or do you just come across it? You know, do you ever just sit down and need a refresher in it?
At least once a week or once in 10 days, every time that I feel like kind of, you know, like desperate, like with, you know, like all these statuses that we have, like as a student, as a worker, as a son, as a brother, as a whatever. So, yeah, when I'm coming like to a dead end, I'm like, okay, I need something to motivate me, to inspire me. And my mom through this song is my forever home where I feel safe. And this is like my magic world where I put myself in and protect it.
Wow, that's so poetic, Konstantinos. What's your mom's name?
Anita.
Anita. Hi, Anita.
Hi, Mom.
Okay, so let's get back to Greece. You, where did you fit into the equation when you were in high school? What kind of student were you by then? What were you pursuing, both personally and academically?
Well, so I decided very early, since I was 9 years old, that I wanted to be in my life a journalist. And that was basically because I realized that I had like advanced communicative skills. Because the language was hard for me, I was trying to use any other means I could to communicate with others. So it was my hands, my body language, my skills in sports, my very few things that I knew about piano that I used to play like in Albania. It was whatever to get people's attention. And, you know, like make myself like, hey, I'm here too. Like, you know, I need the part on this wall too. And, you know, like I came here, but yeah, like I'm here. So as a student, after so hard working, I would say that I was a great student because it was like a way of appreciation. So when I went in Greece, Greece gave me so many things. Like a safe life, a happy life for myself and for my family too. Because I was already like 10 years old. Like I would understand things. Mm-hmm. I would realize the difference, like how my parents' situation was back in a war zone and how it's like run now.
You might not understand the details, but you could feel it for sure.
Yeah. Like yeah. The main difference, you know, like at least in emotional and in our daily life, you can realize like the differences. So it was like I felt the responsibility to give back something to Greece. And that was through my student status, being a good student, learning as much as more like I could from this great history, from this wonderful language, and like from these outstanding people that, you know, like, made me what I am today.
Was there like a student paper? Were you doing some kind of journalism as a student in high school before you went on?
Well, I did not, because this is something that, you know, like I have to somehow like to admit it, in the sense that I do strongly believe that I was born to be a journalist. And I do believe this in this job. Except of the experience and the theory that you need somehow, like, you know, to obtain, you need to have like some natural talents. So, yeah, that was like early in my life. And I'm like, okay, like, I'm a journalist. When I was like 13, 14 years old, I'm like, that's my job. Like, you know, I'm a journalist. I can do it. We don't have in our public system in Greece. We don't have like, you know, like newspapers, school newspapers.
Oh, gotcha.
And stuff
that's
like
not
that.
A thing. Yeah.
It's not, it's never, it's still not a thing. Huh. So, you know, I was trying to do it like through my essays.
Yeah.
Like to be like more investigative.
Yeah, you were an investigative journalist, right, in an English or a Greek class.
With even Homer or, you know, yeah, like yeah. Plato or Aristotle. Huh. Like, you know, wherever I would find the chance that I would use my investigative skills, I was doing that.
That's fascinating. Do you have any musical memories associated with high school over there? Did you guys have dances like we have dances here?
We do have dances too. We do have several parties that we know, like we're going like when it's someone. And we have like two big celebrations every year. Like each person, we have our name day, which is like a huge thing.
Oh, right,
thing.
Right. Like everyone's got a name day.
Yes, yes. And it's like a big thing. And then we have our birthday. So it's like, you know, I was always like to someone's house at least twice a year. So yeah, Paris, well, like we always, like almost every week or every once of 2 weeks, we had like a party of our classmates that we had to go and, you know, like enjoy.
How many saints are there? And what I mean is in an average week, how many name day celebrations would there be?
Well, we do have like the 12 main saints, and then there are like the apostles, and then there are like, I don't know how to translate that in Greece, but it's like sub-saints in my mind, without underestimating their value, though. Like, they are all the same for us, you know, that we honor and we love them in the same way. Don't forget that Greece is like 87% a Christian country.
Right.
So, you know, like Christianity, orthodoxy is like in our blood since we are born. And it's not that there are many saints, just there are like many Constantinos in my country.
Right.
So if you go in the center of Athens and I call understand. My name.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you heads. had Constantinos in class with you.
Yes. Yes.
That's hilarious. When did or did Western music, pop music, Michael Jackson, stuff like that enter your world over there? Or was that really not a thing until you came over here?
No, Michael Jackson, yeah, he was
well,
like
well, I just threw him out as a for instance. But, you know, music from over here. Was it everywhere? Was it somewhere? Was it nowhere over there?
It was. Like, it had a place, definitely. Like, you know, the American industry, like, you know, it had already, like, a huge influence in Eastern European countries. It was not my thing because I had already the tendency to go, like, in more classic music, where just from the tone and the rhythm, I would find like I would feel like, you know, that I have many things in common without understanding, of course, like the Latin language that maybe they were talking about and whatever. With the American music, because I didn't have yet advanced the English language, so I was not. I couldn't find like this connection to the words, and it was not such a big thing with me. It was like I was closer like to Italian music. It's our neighbors too. So yeah, but Michael Jackson, Britney Spears, Celine Dion, of course. Like she was like always like.
Did you have friends who were super into Western music, or was that more common to just not?
Definitely. I had friends that, you know, like I remember one friend that I had like in my English classes. She was in love with Britney Spears. Like it was in, like that was like, you know, fascinated. Every day we had like to listen at least 10 minutes all everything that happens around Britney Spears and, of course, all her songs. So, yeah, I learned them.
Did you go to college for journalism? What did you do after
high
school?
I went, yeah.
Okay, so where did you go to college and what kind of journalism were you studying? Like, were you looking to be – like, what did you do?
Well, that was like a private college. Of course, it operates, all the private colleges in Greece, at least, operates under public institutions. So the University of Journalism of Athens has subcategories, private colleges that you pay a lot, but still like you have this recognition in the end of the college. It's a 2-year school, so it's like kind of community mm-hmm. thing, like, you know, if I have like to compare. So like everything what you learn in 2 years in order like to take a diploma that it's kind of even with the 4-year university, as information are the same thing, but they are not so much in depth
gotcha.
Of each theme.
And but what kind of journalism were you pursuing? Did you want to be a writer? Did you want to be a TV personality? Do you want to be a radio host?
Yeah, like TV, I think that was my thing. In all my childhood, I remember that every time that I was like even going to school, I had the feeling that, you know, I had like a paparazzi somewhere around, like trying to...
Your imaginary friends were paparazzi?
Yeah. How that sounds. I'm okay, though. I'm happy.
So TV was where you...
TV was my thing. I also like had like in Europe, it's very, very advanced. Literacy and poetry. So like that was a strong like part of my writing skills. Although I was trying to avoid it because like in journalism, I believe that a journalist should not put too much of themselves like in that, because it's like strictly that you have like to follow some rules and provide some information without making them look like objective or subjective. That was like back in college when I was in Greece. So I kind of, you know, like censored myself to not use this kind of favorite language that I had. That's why I tend to TV too, because you know like there was like more clear the world, like the first rule is that you have to be clear, yeah. Otherwise you cannot be understandable. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, like I'm not gonna go like through a poetic way and use like for just saying one sentence an entire paragraph. I have to find ways to just say one sentence.
Oh, I know all about it.
Yeah.
So did you work in TV?
I worked in TV. It was like...
On camera?
No. So I was like in production.
Okay.
So it was like a...
You were a producer.
Yes. It was like a very famous TV show. This lady, she is like still like one of the most famous TV anchor women that we have in Greece. Like 30 years career already. Back in time, she was like in a TV channel. I was like in the production department and we were collecting all the information from journalists and reporter, and we had like to follow the deadline. So mm-hmm. journalists from early in the morning had to turn all their work till noon. And then the show starts at 4, and I had with other two people 4 hours to make this a great show.
I know exactly what you mean. You were a producer. You were herding cats of reporters.
Yes.
You were putting it into a form that would work, and then she was presenting it.
Correct, yeah.
Right on.
We were making her famous, though.
You were making her look good. The other job that I have here is hosting a show called Gulf Coast Life, and it started as a live show back in 2004, and I was the producer of it for like 12 years, and it was kind of a smaller version of that, getting all the parts in place for the host to be able to do their thing. And now I get to be the host, too, which actually makes my life a little easier.
I completely agree. That's my dream, too. I'm coming there.
You got it. Okay, let's do your second song now, and then we'll get to your move to the United States and FGCU.
Yes.
What's your second song?
Second song is I'm Coming Home.
By Shepherd?
By Shepherd.
Do you want to listen to it or you want to tell a story?
I want always to listen to
it. I love it. This is Coming Home by Shepherd from the album Watching the Sky, released in 2018. It's Konstantinos Vranishtis' second song on this week's episode of Three Song Stories.
Do you like the song?
I do. It kind of reminds me of Imagine Dragons. But I'm not that I've listened to them that closely.
Yeah. I didn't have that in my mind. When I first listened that song, it was in 2018, the first days of January, the new year. On January 7th, it was booked my flight to come finally in the United States and live with my family. So very, very briefly, I have a stepfather. My mother is remarried. He is Greek-American. My mother came in the States in 2010 with her husband. After a couple years, after 3 years, she became an American citizen from her husband. And she started the paperwork to take her children with her, live in her new country as an American citizen. It took us, my brother and I, almost 9 years for the paperwork to be done. So, and every year was just a postpone. Like, there is not like specific information that, you know, like you start now and your paper is going to be ready, like, you know, in 10, 15 years. Every year.
Every year just, is a maybe, yeah, and then it's a no. A maybe. And then a maybe, and yeah. Then a no. Wow.
So my life was for 9 years full of maybes.
Wow.
And I had like a new year that I had already my book ticket of my flight. I had my temporary visa that when I came here became like a green card. And that song, somehow, I don't even remember where I first listened it. Somehow, like, came in my time, in my day. And it was like a happy song, which, you know, like all the happy songs always, like, you know, get my attention very, very fast. And then was that phrase, like, I'm coming home. So the previous year, my parents have bought a house. We were still in Baltimore. My stepdad was living like in Baltimore County. And the previous year, we bought our house there, and the entire process went through Zoom because I wanted like to be a part of this thing. So I was looking with them all the houses that they were visiting in order like to decide.
You were house shopping for a house that your folks were buying in Maryland from Greece on Zoom.
Correct. Okay. So it was like a family decision.
Absolutely.
Like I participated on that. I would say that. And that song, I sent this song on Facebook to my mom before, like, you know, I was like already on the plane and before, you know, started my wonderful journey, I just sent to my mom this song. Hmm. Like, I'm coming home.
Hmm. So if she heard this song, she would immediately think of that and you.
That message, yeah.
What was it like coming here? Had you been to the U.S. before, or was that your very first time?
When you are like in the process of waiting to come and live permanently in the U.S., you don't have the right to even visit the country.
So what were your first impressions?
Well, I would say that Baltimore, you know, like, I mean, it was amazing. It was January. I'm Greek. Snow.
Yeah, it was Baltimore in January.
Yeah, like that was pretty bad. It was fun the first 2 days. I love skiing. I usually, like, you know, visit, like, you know, different like mountains and all these places like for skiing in Europe generally with my cousins. So I'm like, okay, like we're going to have fun. Like I'm going to find like somewhere that I can ski here too, maybe. The first 2 days was fun. The third day, I had to clean the roadway and, you know, like check my responsibilities. And it was not. No, I'm like, no, I cannot do that. And water and ocean, it's like a strong part of my life. Like our house in Greece, I'm from Kalamata.
Is that the olive place?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So, like, our house is literally, like, 20 feet from the water.
Hmm.
And this connection and this, like, psychological support that I have, like, from the ocean, it was something that I didn't want to miss.
And how long were you there then before you moved to Fort Myers? Year or two?
Two and two.
Two years.
4 years I'm totally in the States.
Oh, okay. So what brought you to Fort Myers?
So my cousins moved like 7 years ago from Baltimore to Fort Myers. They had a friend, and it was because of the restaurant that they still own. It was like a good opportunity for them. So they moved like with their family down here. And it was like when we were in Baltimore, after our first year, my birthday is in February. Still cold in Baltimore, so my parents' gift for my birthday was to a trip in Fort Myers.
Ah.
We got the plane. We came in Fort Myers. I was always in the airport. Airport have like, you know, an important role in my life. And it's like, you know, it's like so poetic as a play, like train stations, airports, all the most important things in life have happened, like, you know, in these places. So never mind. I was in the airport. I just watched, smelled, and I'm like, that has to be like my new home.
So Southwest Florida International Airport made a good impression on you.
Absolutely.
It's a nice airport.
Yeah, it is.
And Florida, Fort Myers, is way closer to Greece than Baltimore.
Correct.
So you go to FGCU now. That's how I met you.
Mm-hmm.
You were studying journalism, but now you're switching to communication.
Like, correct.
What were you, like, before we talk about what you're doing, like, what did you think of FGCU? It's kind of like Southwest Florida International Airport. I mean, it's,
yeah,
it has a nice first impression too, I think.
Correct. No, it's fascinating. Like, I'm a transfer student, so I was in Baltimore too. But, you know, like, very, very cold buildings, no colors, no, and it's like the entire environment that, you know, doesn't help that much. So here, there is like more space. Like, we have all these forests, all these protected lands. We couldn't have like in Baltimore a swimming pool in our university. Not that I visited, but at least I know that it's always there for me. So, yeah, it was amazing. I was the first month so happy that I was coming every day. I was doing my classes. I started the first semester with 5 classes. And then from the second one, I got like a summer class. And then from the second semester, the fall, I started spring. I started taking like 6 classes.
Hmm.
So from the entire first year, I was taking every single day a class just because I wanted to be here every single day.
You wanted to be on campus.
Yes.
Yeah, I get it. So why did you switch to communication from journalism? Your bio said there were several reasons, I think.
Yes.
Well, that's what I got my degree in from here was communication, because we didn't have a journalism program when I got my degree. So why it now?
Well, journalism can be a job that someone can have without having a journalist degree. It's just all the other factors that, you know, play a very semantic role on that, as a talent and all the information and how your critical thinking can be used under specific conditions. So I decided communication firstly for more job opportunities. Like right now, I am 35 years old. Don't play that. And I'm a student. And I've saved this amount of money as an investment to my education in my new country. It's an investment, as I did for Greece, that I feel the responsibility to learn as much as more things I can for my new home country. But still, it's like, you know, in this age, I have to see it like in a more cold and realistic way that, you know, I need a job and I need this investment kind of soon to give me back my money.
Sure.
You know, like, I don't have the time. I'm not 18, 20, 22. I still have duties, responsibilities. I have bills to pay. I have loans, all this stuff. So, you know, like.
What's your dream job? What do you hope to, you know, get once you get out of FGCU?
I think that somehow I'm still loyal to my dream job since I was like a child when I decided to be a journalist, which was like, you know, I wanted like to be a good and accepted journalist from the public. For like 20 years, like, I had my time frame. And then after that, I wanted to start giving back my experiences from this job, use my influence if I can have influence during those years. And so 20 years working as a journalist in every, by any means, and outlets, basically, you know, in broadcast, like TV is always like my favorite part. And then follows like writing. I'm sorry, radio. It's something that I'm not very familiar with.
Sure.
Although, you know,
we
like,
don't. We don't need people trying to get in.
Yeah. Well, fair enough.
No, but so something in TV, wherever it'll take you. Do you want to stay in Fort Myers, or do you care about staying in Fort Myers?
No, like my ultimate goal is
Miami.
Like, Miami. And eventually is like starting working for the United Nations.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That was like my big dream job.
You speak several languages. Mm-hmm. You speak Albanian, Greek, and English well. And then you also speak French and Italian, fairly well. how do you say three song stories, biography through music in Greek?
Τρεις ιστορίες τραγουδιών, η βιογραφία της μουσικής.
Can you do it in Albanian now too?
Well, Albania. Τρεις ιστορίες τε κέγκες, βιογραφία μουσικής.
Thank you.
I'm trying to get the voice to like...
We got it in German a few weeks ago from a guest. Oh, okay. Well, we're going to head toward your third song, but first, concerts. Are you a concert goer? Have you attended many concerts in your life?
Yes. All in Europe. The first concert that I tried to attend in the States was in 2020, in the end of February. Celine Dion had a scheduled concert in Baltimore, and then that was canceled because of the pandemic.
Gotcha.
So I never had the chance to see live one of my favorite singers.
Have you been to any concerts?
In the States, no. In Europe, yeah, in many.
What would be a big one? Like, what would be maybe a memorable one?
In Europe was Shakira, and then it was Luciano Pavarotti, Eros Ramazzotti. I don't know if you know, like, kind of, you know, European singers.
I know the first two things you said, and then the third one I didn't know.
Eros Ramazzotti, he's like the new version of Andrea Bocelli.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
He's like this erotic and ecstatic like singer. Great voice. Laura Pausini. I love like the Italian music. Lara Fabian, the French singer. And Gregoire, he is like another younger French singer. And Robbie Williams.
Have you seen any music since you've been here in Fort Myers? Do you ever go to like Barber B. Mann and see plays or anything like that?
No, because my time is like very, very limited, my free time. So every time I have the chance to enjoy like a nice dinner with my family or friends, I prefer to go like in kind of, you know, like very quiet, fancy restaurants that I can just enjoy a nice meal, have short talk with my family and relax.
Understood. Okay, time for your third song.
Yep.
This is the Unstoppable song that you mentioned earlier. And we're going to listen to it, right? That's what you said last time.
Yes, yes.
All right. This is Unstoppable by Sia from the 2016 album. This is Acting. It's Konstantinos Vrnishti's third and final song today on Three Song Stories. All right. What's the story with song three, Konstantinos?
So this song was completely... defined and found out at FGCU in the campus. I was like in our library trying to complete an assignment for one of my classes. And till that time, it was so weird to me as a European student, seeing like all my fellow students around like trying to complete the assignment by listening music on the same time. And I was always
like earbuds and reading and writing for an essay.
Right.
At the same
right.
time.
Yeah. Right. Like, how can you do them both effectively? How can you be focused on your writing while you have like this strong distraction in your ear? So I was in the library trying to complete my assignment. I decided to have a break. And I'm like, I opened the YouTube channel. I put one of my favorite songs, which was like another one. And then after that song, just came up the song Unstoppable. I was already like, you know, I'm like, okay, because I'm like very by the book, by time. Like when I say 5 minutes, it's 5 minutes. So I came back to my assignments and I still had the song playing. And I still wrote like 1.5 great sentence without having this distraction. And I'm like, wait a minute, like this song inspires me or something. It really worked great. I repeat on that day this song for maybe 30 times. Like I literally completed the assignment always by listening this song till I finished the last word of the last sentence. And broadly, that was the song. Of course, as I said, like, you know, I'm trying to identify, I'm trying to find words in every song that I can identify with. So when Sia says, like, I'm a Porsche with no brakes, like, you know, or I don't need batteries to play, every time that, you know, like, I feel these struggles, because, like, keep in mind, when I'm completing an assignment for my 6 classes here, I still have to translate many phrases, words, or even sentences to my language, to Greek, and then trying to figure out the meaning and then write my answer. So it's like this long process.
Hmm.
Sometimes it gets myself tired too. And I'm like, I feel like many times like depressed, stressed, or desperate. And I always have this phrase like, hey, buddy, like, you're a Porsche with no brakes. Like, come on, you can do it.
You know, listening to it over and over like that, you know, I don't personally meditate consciously, but from what I understand, repeating a phrase or having something that is, you know, repetitive, you know, puts you into that state. And that's kind of what you did on a bigger level with that song. What kind of grade did you get on that assignment?
I don't remember.
You get all A's? Are you an all A's guy?
I'm in all A's so far. Thank God. Hopefully that not changes. I'm an honor student. I hope that doesn't change too. The assignment was for Cribs.
For Judd Cribs, past Three yes. Song Stories guest.
And he's like an adorable professor. Like, he's excellent. And yeah, I think that, you know, he's good creating.
Do you still now listen to music while you're writing, or was that just a one-time thing?
Yes, I've assimilated this part like in my daily life now. I do it mostly though only when I am in library at FGCU in the campus. I don't do it when I'm home.
Understood. It's like your library thing now.
Yes.
It's like it's almost like you could probably use it as a lever. You can be like, well, if I go to the library, I'll get to listen to music.
Right, right. Well, you have the distraction because you're not alone in a room.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
So you have all these students and like listening music, like these specific songs that, you know, I like, kind of relax me, made me like more inspired about how to complex different like sentences. And then I feel that I'm like kind of isolated from others. Like now, like, you know, you can't watch me because I wear like my earpiece and I'm like hidden from you doing my work.
It's like a cloak of invisibility.
Right.
All right. Are you ready for a speed round? We're going to do a speed round.
I am.
You have a nickname that has stuck over the course of your life that you would be willing to share.
It's a funny thing. Like, the most of my Greek friends have still, like, on their phones. Like, they have my name, my phone, and they, in their contacts, I'm as, like, superstar.
I wish our listeners could see the grin on his face. Okay. Do you do karaoke?
I love karaoke.
You sang a little bit during that last song, so you seem like you kind of sing. You're a singer?
That's like my only, the only sad part in my life. I wish God would give me like a nice voice, because I think that I would be definitely like a great singer.
So you're not a great singer?
No, but I have everything else. I have like
you have the stage presence.
Right. Yeah. I have that X that needs, like, you know, to be a complete star.
When was the last time you bought music that had physical form, that was like a CD or something that you could hold and not a stream?
2011 or 12.
Gotcha. If you were a cocktail or a drink of some kind that represented who you are, what would that cocktail or drink contain?
Vodka lemonade.
Vodka lemonade. What's it called? Superstar.
It'll be Superstar.
Superstar. Yeah. If you had to guess, what would you say is the song you've listened to the most times in your life?
Because You Loved Me.
If you were a championship wrestler, what music would you use to enter the arena?
That's a great question. I've listened to so many songs that I'm like, I've imagined literally myself like entering, like in a big stage with this song.
With your imaginary paparazzi.
Right, yeah, paparazzi be like all over around. Come on. I got it.
Never mind.
Sorry.
No, you're good.
Okay. I was just going to let it go. Jared couldn't take it.
No. I had to find. I love the question.
I was going to give a recommendation.
No.
He got it.
Well, I've done that so many times in my life. And when I have to give like one answer, I'm like.
And we tell you in the instructions, take as much time as you want.
Yeah.
So thank you for doing it.
So it's definitely, it's not Goodbye, Andrea Bocelli, Laura Pausini.
Okay. What would your wrestler name be?
What's the wrestler name?
Like your wrestler name. Like
my name?
Like Hulk Hogan.
Like The Undertaker.
That's not his real name. Or The Undertaker.
The Rock.
Like championship wrestler. Like, what's your name? Superstar.
Superstar is great. It's a great
Superstar.
Name.
Superstar. Okay. It's the same as your cocktail. Song you wish you could hear again for the first time ever.
Oh, it's Johnny Logan. Yeah. Hold me now.
Hold Me Now by Johnny Logan.
By Johnny Logan.
Well, maybe in post, Rich will put a little bit here. Right here. right where my arm is, there's some music playing. Your bio says that music for you is like an emotional elevator. What song lifts you up the fastest and the highest?
I have many songs. Like one of them that just come right now in my mind is like Despacito by Luis Fonsi.
Okay. Any songs you'll avoid listening to because you don't want to be reminded of something that they're connected to?
No, and this is why exactly I mean that, you know, music functions on me as an elevator, because I always want to deeply live and enjoy all the stages of my emotion. So if I'm sad, I'm always like, you know, listening sad songs.
So you
like
just,
I want to leave.
You'll use the elevator to take you down sometimes too.
Right.
That's a very good way to put it. Are there any albums that you like to listen to all the way through? Do you listen to albums all the way through anymore?
No.
No, because you don't really have them anymore.
Yeah, maybe. But even when we had the albums, I was like mostly like, you know, with a song and by that specific singer too. Like, you know, I don't like to listen a song that I firstly heard it by a particular singer from another singer.
If you could broadcast a song into the head of all the people on the planet in a one moment together, what song would you broadcast to them?
We are the world.
We are the world? That's pretty
which
easy
version?
Answer.
Oh, which version? The good one or the recent one?
The great version.
I say
version.
Recent.
The one with the Cindy Lauper.
Lady Gaga, no.
We're going to ask our last questions here in a second, but you wrote in your bio, I want you to just kind of reflect on, you said something like, you know, you've been to a lot of countries, you've lived in places, and we live here in what you think is something that we ought to maybe appreciate more for those of us who haven't been everywhere, if you know what I mean. Like the United States.
The United States, the people who live in the United States should appreciate and love this country more than they already do, because seeing it from my own side and being like in 28 countries, I would say that this is the greatest country in the world, meaning that this country can make you dream and realize your dreams all over again. Other countries, maybe I'm biased, that's my my own perception. Other countries don't have second or third opportunities to be given.
All right. What would your 14-year-old self, still there in Greece, think of who you are today and what you're doing?
When I was 14 years old, I started watching for the first time Oprah's show.
Oprah Winfrey.
She was like one of my main sources of inspiration and becoming like a journalist, like, you know, like having strongly that in my mind. So watching her show, it was late night in Greek channel. And I'm like, damn, like, how can I be there one day? I want to be like her. So right now, after so many years, I can look back to my 14 years old self and just tell it like, we did it, buddy.
Awesome. All right. It's time for you to recommend three people that you'll share this with that you think we could get on.
All right. Let me think about that. I'll take my time. So can they be my classmates?
They can be anybody.
Because
they can be
Glenn. Like he was like in the entire classroom, like, you know, he announced that I'm gonna be in the show.
Uh-huh.
And I felt like so uncomfortable because I saw like the will in the eyes of all my other classmates that they wanted to be here, and I felt like, you know, so bad that, you know.
Oh, well, that's my fault.
No, don't record this.
No, it's all.
Everything's
all
recorded.
This is still the show. We're still in the show.
Glenn Miller's already been on the show.
That's, yeah, like, in the sense that, you know, I'm like, okay, I feel the duty.
Yeah. Well, recommend
them.
But see, now you can't recommend more than three, and so you're still gonna just gonna do it again.
I will come another time. So let me, you know, say correct the names.
Did you know Glenn Miller was already on the show?
Yeah. He told me about.
Okay. Cool. Another piece of Three Song Stories trivia. His episode was the first mention of me.
Yeah, before you were even a part of this team.
Yeah.
Has
he told you the story about one of his students loving the Temptations?
No.
Not yet? Ask him about it.
I will. It's a long story?
No, it's a short story.
It's Jared.
It's me.
Okay.
I was one of his students too.
Oh, that's great. That's the second class that that I have with Glenn, and he's like doing like a great job, and
yeah,
he's like, you know, so easy, like in communication and stuff like that. Like, I really feel that I'm talking with a colleague, you know, like,
yeah,
you
yeah.
have this
yeah,
feeling
yeah.
that he doesn't pretend that he's like a professor or something, like, you know, more knowledgeable than you.
Yeah, well, because he's honest and he has, you know,
right.
integrity.
Yes, and that's a part that, you know, like, he can admit when he has a mistake.
Yeah.
So that's very something that, you know, I appreciate. So the first person that I would like to recommend is Emma Rodriguez.
Yeah, good friend of mine.
Yeah, like she has, I think that two weeks ago, I told her that, girl, like, I see myself in you. Like, you are doing, acting, and thinking what I was doing in your age. So that was, like, something so impressive. And I really want to give her, like, the chance to communicate
these
great skills that she has. Abigail Meath is my second classmate that I'd like to be in this show.
Okay.
And the third person.
Emma and Abigail are in Eagle Media too, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They do. And the third person from Eagle Media that I really admire and love her, like, dearly, is Jakira Bryan.
Sounds good. Have them all listen to this.
That would be amazing.
You can probably, maybe Glenn will make you guys listen to it in class.
Right, right.
For credit. You can listen to this conversation for college credit.
Yes, I'm going to, like, request that.
Okay, well, you've done it. Thank you so much for doing it. I'm glad that I did identify you as a potential guest during that time when I got up and babbled about interviewing. Do you have any final thoughts you want to leave us or our listeners with?
Well, firstly, you have a great taste. And I think that music is this emotional support that we need in our everydayness. So don't feel afraid of including it in big, in huge, in enormous portions in your lives.
Thank you for doing this.
Thank you for having me. Amazing
grace, how sweet the sound. We make Three Song Stories in the studios of WGCU Public Radio on the campus of Florida Gulf Coast University in Fort Myers, Florida. Richard Chinqui is co-creator and producer. Tara Callaghan is online content producer and host. Our production assistant is Jared the Intern Gonzalez. Christophus is executive producer. And our theme song was made by Dave Cowan and Stick Martin at Monkey House Studio in St. Pete. For this week's parting tune, we're going back 1 year to episode 221, guest Stephen Cavett. He's an English and creative writing instructor at FGCU. His first song, a rendition of Amazing Grace, performed by Ralph Stanley and the Clinch Mountain Boys, takes him back to the mid-90s when his grandfather died in a house he had built in Marietta, Georgia. Stephen, then about 17 years old, was right there at his side.
He was definitely one of the best men I've ever known. And I was thinking, we talked a little bit about drum making, right? The fact that I used to do it. And if you look at the hide of a horse or a deer or an elk, and you flip it around, you can see on the underside some of the old scars, like where they brushed up against a barbed wire fence or, you know, got poked by a thorn. There's this map of its scars and its life under the skin. And one of those moments, I think if you peel back my skin, would be when my granddad died. It was like one of those world-shaking, faith-shaking kind of moments. You know? So Amazing Grace takes us back into my grandparents' living room, and my granddad is in a hospice bed. And I've always had problems with the outpouring of grief, right? Like, sometimes it seems like people are crying for themselves more than the one they've lost. So the moment that my granddad finally had his, you know, his death rattle, took his last breath, and I guess his fingers had already been cold. I just sort of started singing Amazing Grace because I figured that was the way to wing him on his way and was a song he would have loved. That's where it takes us. Now I see was blind, but
now I see. Keep listening.